You lost track of time at the gym?
I was loving the gym so much. That's why I look in this way. You don't use the video of this, do you?
I do a little clip on the, on the Instagram.
Okay, tell me when, just, this is, I look completely crazy. Okay, let me at least
like. I won't use anything yet.
Just, I'm just another one of you gym rats, just like everyone else. I've been, it's like my third day in a row going, so I feel like extremely powerful. One, two, three, four.
It's the most I use is like 25, yeah, 30 seconds. Oh,
we'll get into it. Tell me when we're going and I'll start. I'll get into it. thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
Oh my God. You don't understand, to be a guest on a podcast, such a luxury when I'm used to being a host. I'm just like getting in the bubble bath. I'm like, let's go.
Do you have any questions?
No, let's just see what happens.
Great. Okay, let's see what happens. Steve, you want to take it away?
Yeah. You already know what it be like, what it seemed like, what it might be. You guys are now listening to the best comedy podcast in the goddamn world. This is the Chuckleheads Podcast, and I'm Steve, the chunky one, and I'm with Barlow, the hunky one. And today, our guest, if we're talking about basketball references, is an all-star.
Yes!
Six-time all-star balling. Now, this guest is just like myself. They do music and comedy, so I respect the game heavy. I seen our guest crush it. No music, just jokes. Then I seen him crush it with just music and no jokes. They got away with words so much that they have a brand new book, God, I Feel Modern Tonight, of poems. That's goddamn right. Just poems, not stories. You probably seen them on a High Maintenance. If you're cool, you probably seen them killing on Seth Meyers. Or you heard their lovely podcast, Seek Treatment, with my man, Pat Regan. Today, our lovely guest is none other than Catherine Cohen. What's up? How you doing?
Oh my God, that intro. I feel right at home. That was so glam. I loved every second of it. If we're talking basketball, oh my God, I love that. I'm hunky and chunky. Let's go. I was like, this is their first guest they ever had that's both hunky and chunky. An amazing mashup. But as I told you guys when I kind of logged on to Zoom, I said I never thought I'd be able to say this, but I just came back from the gym. So if I look a little different to you, if I have a glow about me, that's why. And I was duped. I was duped by the hosts of this podcast, and they did not tell me that we'd be having a visual element. So I'm serving gym frizzy hair realness today, and I'm very happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Okay, and that's the Instagram clip. I mean, I'm from, so I was started my little comedy career in Boston, and I know when I moved here to New York, I was like told I have to go see Kat Cohen because all the stand-ups I see tagging jokes with, okay, you're obsessed with me, was getting it from her.
And oh, so, my God. That's true. And you know what I say when someone copies me? I say, thank you.
Thank you for the compliment. Yeah,
I knew you was the truth when I walked by Club Cumming and that shit looked like Shake Shack Chipotle mix. Like, that's how crazy one I was to get in just to hear you do some songs. I was like, damn, it's cracking over here.
I'm so glad that we met on Chris's show, because you have to come to the club when we're back. It'll be so great.
I would be honored. Hell,
you'd be,
yeah,
you would kill. It'd be so fun. I think hopefully like maybe this summer at some point. I don't know.
Hell yeah, I'm down.
It's not looking crazy.
Did y'all meet on?
I used to do a show every Wednesday at Club Cumming. We met on my friend Chris Murphy, who's like my dearest friend from college, hosted a show at Ars Nova, and Steve did some amazing songs.
Mm-hmm. I think I know Chris. He's a stand-up, right?
Yeah, he just started a new job writing at a Vanity Fair as well, which is cool. Sorry, there's actually the craziest construction across the street. It's like someone was like, I think I should buy this whole building and then bang on it for 3 months. So if you hear a loud noise, that's what's happening. It's like, at this point, what are they even doing besides banging? Okay, I celebrate. I mean, yeah, I wish I could have a whole brownstone too, but you know, not there yet.
Now, okay, we start this show with the same question for all of our guests. Who was the first person you ever performed with that made you kind of like second guess your game? Maybe you want to make a song tighter, make a joke a little better, you know what I mean? Had you been like, oh, let me go to the mics and test some shit out.
Oh my God, that's such a fun question. Yeah, I know that feeling you get when you see someone and you're like, fuck, why didn't I think of that? Like, that's so good, that feeling. I think that's how I feel every time I watch Pat Regan do stand up, because he said, we both joke that we don't actually write jokes, but Pat writes like extremely tight jokes, and the way he uses the English language is mystifying. The order of words he uses, I'm like, why is that funny? I don't know, but I want to be more like that. So whenever I watch him, I saw him first at back when there was what was it called in Williamsburg, the basement. Wow, this is a dark annoyance. The annoyance. Did y'all ever go
Yes,
there?
yes, 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 yes.
I saw him tell this hilarious story at the annoyance, and I was like, "Who is that? I need to know more about him."
Is that when you met?
Yeah, I think we might have met in passing, like one night at McManus back when that was a thing.
Yeah.
But y'all are like young.
No.
Tell me how old. Don't be shy. Tell me how old you are.
I wanted you to guess, actually.
I think you're both like 25.
Wow, bro, when I put that on my resume.
Thank God. Thank God,
what?
Kat.
Tell me.
I'm 27.
Okay.
Now I'm 45. No, I'm 32.
Oh my God. Okay, congratulations. Congratulations on getting 25.
And we won't ask you, so we'll move on.
Yeah, well, I'm open. I'm an open book. I'm 29. I'm really hyped up right now because my boyfriend is turning 30 tomorrow, and so I'm like planning all the festivities, and I'm just like getting hyped.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's fine.
I just got, look what I just went to Gracides and got Funfetti cake mix.
That's good cake.
And cupcake thing.
cupcake
And this, it was such a perfect like old New York moment, because this like old woman walked by me and was like, "You're baking." And I said, "It's for a birthday party." And then she said, "I love that."
She just randomly said
She scrolled behind me. Okay, that's not scrolled, walked. Okay,
yes.
Where I'm inside the computer. Mind equals blown. She scrolled to her little cart behind me, and she said, I think the words were, "You're baking," because I was looking at the cake stuff.
And in the store, not on the street.
In the store. And when
Okay,
I
okay,
saw
okay.
her work on stage, I thought, I gotta be like her. I gotta, you're baking. I mean, who would think of that? Or like, you're baking. It's
Right.
not.
So the people out here making you second guess your game is Pat Regan with his linguistic skills and little old lady in grocery store noticing that you are buying baking goods.
Yes, the woman who coined my new catchphrase, "You're baking."
Yeah, see, it's in your Twitter bio already. It's crazy.
I remember Pat Regan was like a big thing when I was in like improv school. Like, I think I was in it might have been like 4-1. My whole class was obsessed with him. I went to one show. I'm like, how the fuck does he think of this on the tip of his toes? Like, it's crazy. He's a
He
beast.
kills me.
Yeah.
So, how did y'all two meet?
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's wow. Look at
Wow.
that.
She says, "I'm so excited not to be the host yet asks us
Well,
questions."
I was always taught it's rude not to ask questions. It's rude
We
to talk
actually.
about yourself. And yet here I am being a stand-up comedian.
We met at like an improv show.
A
I
dating reality improv show. And then I said good show to him because I thought he was very funny. And he's like, "Well, I got to take the LIRR back to Long Island." And I was like, "Yo, I'm also from Long Island." And he's like, "For real?" And I was like, "My name's Steve." And he's like, "My name's Andrew." And then it was all love
The rest
after
is
that.
history. That's
Yeah.
beautiful.
Are you where are you from originally?
I'm from Houston,
Texas. What
on the
made you?
Southern Belle. You know, Pat Regan's from Long Island as well.
Oh, hell yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
Okay. We
But
should
yeah,
have had him.
I know. Yeah, definitely. I can go. Do you want me to
We'll get through this. We'll push through. We'll push through.
Okay, we'll make it happen. Yeah, I'm from Texas, but now I've lived in New York almost 7, 8 years.
Wow.
I know, old hag. I moved here right when I graduated.
What made you choose to move to New York and not like LA or Chicago?
I mean, come on. There's because nothing compares to New York. LA is terrible. Chicago is cute, but it's not New York.
That's
And I
fair.
actually, some of the best shows of my entire life have been at Chicago at the Hideout. So fun. But no, I actually was randomly born here. My parents met here. And then we moved to Texas because my mom grew up there. And I always thought, like, oh, I can't believe they took me back from my home. I got to get back there. And I would guess, you know, Frank Sinatra. I was like, "Don't spoon right in the nose." And then now I'm here.
Did you do comedy in Houston?
No. I grew up doing like musical theater, as sad as that sounds.
Really? And
Which is
college too?
also, yeah, which is also why I was like, oh, New York, like I'm an actress, you
Yeah.
know.
There's Broadway. No, there's no none of that in LA as much. At least not as much.
Yeah. Tale as old as time. Girl
I
moves
feel
to New
it.
York to become an actress.
does comedy.
I know. Well, thank God. Thank God for comedy, because I was about, I went to like one big, like huge casting call in Midtown, and I was just like, this is not the vibe.
Well, let me ask you a question. So you moved to New York. You've done stuff at like you on the UCB Modern Night Team, Lover, right? As an actress.
That feels like 3,000 years ago. I feel like I'm, this is fun. This is fun. I feel like I'm like, yes, I was on Lover. Back when there was UCB and the kids were allowed to be on stage, I was there doing little voices. That's literally, yeah. Yeah, no, but actually when I got on Mod Night, I was like, okay, I'm famous. I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, you can't fucking touch me, I'm on Mod Night. And then like it was horrible.
Yeah, I think that's just
it is the biggest joke. It's like, I mean, I had a lot of fun. I'm grateful for the experience, praise God. But I mean, to not write your own stuff, I just felt very out of control. And they would just rehearse so much. Like, they would rehearse us into the ground till there was absolutely nothing funny left. And then you had to pay to be in it also. It was the last kind of sticking point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun. But I met a lot of great people.
You did stuff at UCB. You did stuff. You would do show at the Pit, Club Cummings. But a lot of your projects are like the show at Club Cummings, I'm going to mess it up because I'm bad with words. Cabernet Cabaret.
You killed it.
Great. You deal with, I was told, Henry, I'm going to say his name wrong.
Yes, Henry Kapersky.
Piano man. And then you do the podcast that Steve mentioned, Seek Treatment, with like Pat Regan. Uh-huh. How do you like pick the people? Because it seems like you usually are like either working solo or working with like one person versus like people who do a lot of group stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think the first like collaborative thing I got to do was I hosted a show called It's a Guy Thing with Mitra Johari and Patty Harrison, who are both in LA now. Funniest people in the world.
Yeah.
I met Mitra like right when I graduated college, and it was just an instant thing. Like we were at a bar one night and we started talking, and I was just like in tears laughing. I was like, this is the funniest girl I ever met. And she had known she had met Patty in college. So she introduced us, and then the three of us were like, let's do this thing. And it was the best. We started it at Over the Eight in Williamsburg, which doesn't exist. And then we moved to Union Hall. And we did it there until they moved to LA. And then we did a few at the Bell House whenever they'd be in town. And it's just the best. And it was just like, the premise was like, comedians teach us about guy stuff. But like, it was just a comedy show.
Was it like sketch or?
The three of us would do like really fucked up songs. My favorite one that Patty wrote that is our Christmas anthem is, it's called I'll sing a bit for you, it's my favorite thing. It goes, I think the mistletoe is broken. Instead of kissing, people are giving each other head. I think the mistletoe is broken. Instead of kissing, people are going down on each other. A mistletoe classic. We would do stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
She also did this bit that I think about every day in my life, where she put on a Tweety Bird mask and these like big fake tits and sang to Lady Gaga's Born This Way, I am Tweety with tits, over and over again for like 3 minutes.
Just one line?
Yeah, she's like, I am Tweety with tits. You know I'm Tweety with tits. That was Union Hall.
That was wild.
That was so funny.
But that was your first collaborative project, you said?
Yeah, and they were just like the funniest people I'd met, and working with them was like heaven, and working with them helped me like figure out, you know, what I was good at and stuff.
Right. And then they also help you like identify what you want to work in, what you want to in from other people when you work with them.
Yeah. Or I think you like find each other's strengths. And like when the three of us would work together, I was like, well, I know I'm good at the musical part. And, you know, Patty's really good at the totally absurd stuff. And Mitra's really helpful with like the structure of it and building on that.
Yeah.
And we just all had these little pieces. And so I was like, oh, I'm good at the music. I'm going to, you know, work on my own music more.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, I got questions because I think this is very interesting. Like, as a person that does a musical comedy, I usually do like every set I usually do is usually like jokes and then the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I seen you, you did a set when I was on North Coast at Littlefield.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah. And you just did jokes and it crushed. And then my friend, she worked at Joe's Public House.
That's my fave.
And you did a set there and it was just completely songs. I mean, you had like banter, but it was mostly songs. So like, how do you pick and choose like, oh, when am I going to just do music or when am I just going to do jokes?
Yeah, I'm surprised that I did a set without music. Usually I don't do music. It's a very stupid answer. It's usually I don't do music if it's at all annoying to like send my track to the person or they make me feel like If it's like an inconvenience or I like can't find the plug. So dumb. Or yeah, if I don't have a track or something. But no, my show that I do, like when I do my hour, it's like it's like mostly music. It's like 7 songs in an hour and then like banter in between. Banter. I say that because I've been watching Love Island. Do you guys watch that?
No.
Banter, it's heaven. It's heaven on earth.
I see it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's heaven on earth. But I try and always do both. I feel like depending on the room too, like you never know. Like I used to be so scared to do songs at like more clubby venues and stuff. But people are always like pretty down for music. I used to think it was so embarrassing that I did music, but now, you know, it always goes over well for the most part.
Yeah.
I feel like music too, like is more engaging than like if you were like a stand-up at a bar, like people can ignore it, like you talking a little more easier than like music is like, oh, what's this, I want to listen, you know what I mean?
Or even that, like if it isn't going well, you're just going to keep doing the song. You don't have to be like, oh, what am I going to do now with this crowd? You're just like, I'm doing the song. Like it's kind of, it's almost like there's just like a safety there. I think it's safer to do.
Oh, that's interesting. Like it's okay if they're not laughing, but it's still like a musically good song.
Yeah, especially if it's something I've done before, I'm just like, okay, their loss.
Now, what made you lean more into comedy since you was coming from like a theater background?
Yeah, I think I met some people who were doing comedy and I just thought it was so cool that you could get up on stage all the time and you could be like more in control. And I'd never really written anything for myself. And then some friends encouraged me to, and that was just like game changing. So I was like, oh, I can like make my own opportunities more, because you know, auditioning for stuff, you just feel so powerless. Even now I feel like I go in when I'm doing like TV film auditions, I feel like I go in with such a confidence because like I'm like, I don't need this, you need me. Doesn't always work, I haven't booked much, but you know.
Yeah, but
it's the energy,
the control aspect you say is interesting, because you said you mentioned that with Maud too, of like, and like just being rehearsed and told what to do wasn't enjoyable for you.
No, especially when like we'd get the script and I would be like, this is the least funny thing I've ever heard in my life. And then I was like, I'm like, it's all, then it's my face doing it. And everyone's gonna think I'm some fucking unfunny loser.
Yeah.
When actually I'm a genius. This blows. I have to do something else.
Yeah, I feel that. I remember one of my homies, they came to, I did like a black sketch cram, like Who Made the Potato Salad. Sketch I was in was fire, but we had another homie and his sketch was like, yeah, I mean, it was whatever. So my friend's like, yo, why'd I have to give Zach that one though?
Oh like, my God.
And I was like, that's a fact. Like,
it's hard. It's hard out there. Oh my God. Sketch cram. That was fun.
Yeah, it was lit.
It was a good time. So you start doing comedy, you're taking classes or whatever, and you're doing indie stuff, writing your own stuff. Were there any performers or writers that like stuck out to you, whether sketch actors, stand-ups, other musical comedians that inspired you, maybe you borrowed from a little bit?
So many people. I mean, I think obviously me and all my friends are completely obsessed with John Early, Caperlant, Jacqueline Novak. Those were the three that I would seek out their shows and go watch them because I was so obsessed. I was like, I've never seen anything like this. They're so brilliant. I'm also like a big fan of Jenny Slate. Like I would read her Twitter and stuff when I was in college. I was like, oh, she's so funny. Who else?
John Early. He's one in one of the character shows, right?
He's also on Search Party.
He's so fucking funny on Search Party.
He's so funny, bro. His stand-up is crazy.
Yeah, he's a genius. So I looked up to them a lot, and yeah. And then everyone else I was doing stuff with, I'm like, am I dead or so? I'm like, am I dead? I was like, I don't remember that life. I'm like, I would love to like watch someone perform. Is this like my actual funeral? Cause I'm like, back in my day. And it's like, I haven't done it. It would be different if I was like still, but I'm like, I haven't done a show in so long that I'm like, oh, I forgot about that girl. So thank you guys for unlocking that.
That's what we're here for. Is anything specific about those performers like that like stuck out to you?
Yeah, they're just so smart, and I've just never, they also just, they all have X factor. Like you don't know, even they'll do things sometimes and you don't even know why you're laughing, and it's just like it's just when you have it, you know, and they have it, and I thought they were so great. And also I'm not like a comedy nerd, like I literally don't know anything about comedy, So when I saw them performing, I was like, oh, that's what stand-up can be. It just felt like it, you know, opened my mind, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Another mind-opening time.
Yeah, totally. I feel that. That happened to me when I seen, what's homie's name? Bo Burnham. I used to think he's just like a dude just saying bullshit on stage, and he got the piano, he's jumping, he's doing. I'm like, oh, shit. If he could do that, totally. I could freestyle on stage. Yeah, so I feel you. I feel you. Shout out Bo one time.
Oh my God, I love him. I love his specials.
So fire.
Yeah.
So when you start doing like the musical comedy stuff, like you, so your show won Best New Act at Edinburgh, right? Big, it's a big hit.
It was a big hit. It was the best time of my life.
Was it?
It literally was the best time of my whole life. I'm like, who is she?
How long were you there for? Did you go for the full festival?
Yeah. So I was, you know, I did a few shows in London, then we did this little festival in Dublin, and then I was in Edinburgh for like a month, and it was the best. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. I almost lost my mind. I was just like singing that much every night. Like I had to really take care of myself. I'd been to the festival before just to watch, and the whole thing is like you're partying the whole time. So I was like, I was there. I was like, I can't drink. I was too nervous to eat. I was like full nun mode. I was so thin. I looked incredible. I was so, because I was so stressed, I like could not function. I looked gorgeous.
Okay.
And I was just like, I'm going to win this. And I knew I would. And I did. And it was amazing. I know. It's like.
But getting to that show point.
Yeah.
Were there like projects that like didn't take off? Like, how many times did you like take that swing and keep going? You know what I mean?
Oh, I get rejected literally 12,000 times a day from everything. I'm like a complete loser. I remember having like a full meltdown. I was so upset. First of all, I never got JFL, shout out. Then I remember being so upset that I didn't get like, I guess they did, I don't know if they still do it. It's like Clusterfest, like New Faces or something. Mm-hmm. Not New Faces, but they do like a Clusterfest showcase, and I didn't get it. And I was like, I'm good. And then the next year they're like, will you come do your own set at Clusterfest? And I'm like, yes, bitch. Yeah, I get rejected literally nonstop. And this is like, it's such a crazy thing. It's so crazy.
How do you keep yourself going when you get rejected? Like when you face those walls?
You just have to be like so crazy confident, which I mean, it's hard. Like there are some things that knock you down from, you know, when it lasts more than like a day, you're like, damn, this is really a big one. I'm bummed out. But it's like, this is the only thing that makes me feel good. And it's what I was born to do. So, but it's hard. It's hard to keep going, especially this whole year. I'm sure all of us have been like, what? Like even like last week, I called my mom being like, why do I live in New York? Like, what do I do besides eat and sleep? Like, what's the point of being alive?
You were like, maybe mom, you were right by bringing me back to Austin.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought, but I was just like, this blows. But it's just, go ahead.
Every time I get rejected for something, I remember two of my favorite creators, what they said. It said Kevin Abstract. He said, if you're going to be an artist in any medium, you got to be delusional. So if they tell you no, just remember you're the greatest.
That's so good.
And Gary Richardson said, if you bomb an audition or they don't pick you for audition, they were wrong. You deserved it, but they just wasn't seeing you correctly. So I'm like,
yes.
I live by those two things every time I don't get something.
I love both of those things so much. Yeah, I think, yeah. Wow, I'm like, that hit me. I like look out into the sky and I'm like, that's so true.
The one that I don't want to say who it is because Steve doesn't like this celebrity.
Wait. Now we gotta know the celebrity.
Okay, Eminem once said,
"Oh my god!"
Eminem once said, "People, if you don't want to put me on your track, it's because you're worried I'll spit better than you." So I like tell myself, "Okay, if I didn't get on a show, it's because they're worried the person putting it together is worried I'm gonna be funnier than that person."
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, you gotta. Delusional is the perfect way to put it. Yeah, it's like you gotta just be like, I mean, I really, especially lately, like I try and just keep Twitter and Instagram off my phone until I like need to post, because any kind of comparison shit that I get that I start doing is just like totally unhelpful.
Yeah. The different journey. Everyone's on a different journey.
Yeah, that's so annoying. It's like, okay, we get it, but like, why are you annoying me? I get so jealous of things that I don't even want. I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm like, she gets to write for that thing. And it's like, I actually would rather die than write for that thing.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that with like late night shows. Like, wow, that person got hired to write on Seth Meyers. And I'm like, you literally tell me that's the least funny show you've ever seen. Like, you don't that show.
Yep.
I like that show.
Yeah.
It'd be the people that never, like, they never touched the sketch pad. They never wrote nothing. Like, how come I didn't get it? I'm like, fam, you just wrote a pack. This is your first packet. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, come on, son.
But, yeah. It's hard out there.
But you got to stay delusional to keep yourself positive, because otherwise you get buried in the blankets and the pillows.
I ain't going to lie. Say. Being buried in some blankets and pillows sounds super lit.
It sounds divine.
Yeah, that sounds fire. With a nice J and an iced coffee, I'm with that.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Are y'all both in New York?
Yeah. Brooklyn.
Love.
Hell yeah.
It's so gorgeous today.
Yeah.
I walked down the street and I was like, okay, life is possible again. There's sun. There's funfetti cake mix in my bag. I'll say that.
No, say it. What'd you buy?
I bought a sex toy.
Okay, speaking of like keeping yourself positive after rejection.
Yes, yeah. I bought a fun sex toy for my boyfriend's birthday. It's in my little baggie, and I'm gonna show it off later.
I respect it. Now, Catherine, as someone that has the foot kind of in the door, what's like your ending goal? Like, where do you want to?
I'm
take?
Honored that you think my foot's at all in the door every day. I'm like, I'm the biggest loser in America. No one's ever heard of anything I've done. So thank you.
Listen. When we have people who listen to the podcast that call themselves like the chuckle fucks or something, or like you have the, I'm going to say it wrong, the truth sleuths, right?
That you said it perfect.
Oh, perfect. When we have that, then we'll be our foot in the door. But you have that. So.
All right. My tiny little foot's in the door.
I also referenced you in a freestyle at a park, and all the white people were like, oh, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, you did?
Yeah, so I'd be moving these keys, Catherine Cohen, and they were like, ah, you know what I'm saying?
That's the best thing that's ever happened to me. That is so, I'm so honored. Thank you. That's so sick.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. Okay, day equals made. You said all the white people cheered?
Yeah, they were like, and my three black friends were like, hey, man, that's cool.
I know that the sorority girls, I do it for them. I love those girls. I love the girls who come to my show. They get a Prosecco. I love those girls.
I was talking, we have a friend. Her and like other people will do like Australian accents. And I just found out like, oh, it's because you do it.
Soy random. It was, I think, y'all know Sarah Squirm?
Yeah, of course. She's
the best. She came on Seek Treatment and she kept being like, Soik Treatment? And so then we kept saying it like that. She's so, so funny.
But back to Steve's question about your foot in the door.
So what's the question?
Like, what's your end goal? Like, how far you want to take your platform?
I'm laughing because I want to be a famous movie star. I want to do it all. I want to do it all. I want to keep doing everything I'm doing just on a larger scale. So I want to always do live performance. I want to have my own TV show. I want to act in cool stuff with cool people. The classic answers.
Yeah. I think a TV show about you would be fire.
I agree.
Comedy's moving, that should be fire.
I know. I've been working on something for a few years now that will hopefully, happen at some point. We'll see. It's lots of everything. I'm learning how slow everything is in TV.
Let's jump to the end. Okay, so you got one TV show in the books. It's a fucking huge hit, and they're like, do a fucking another. And like you get to feed who you want to feed. So are there any people that you came up with in comedy?
Oh, that's a nice question.
You're like, yo, these people deserve some food on the table. I'm going to put them in the show. I'm going to put them in the writer's room that you want to shout out.
Oh my God, so many people. I'm laughing because you're my first thought when you say like you have it all. I'm like, I can't imagine how depressed I'll be then. Like once you do it, like, you know, it's lonely at the top when you do it all and you're like, I still feel like shit. And then you're like, just we all know the truth. Nothing will validate us. I'm trying to detach from external validation. I have everything I need. I'm whole, etc. But yeah, it's still fucked up that I want all that shit. Who do I love? I mean, I don't know. I like forgot about comedy. all my pals are so funny. I was thinking of Rachel Sennett, who's like was like my little sis, but now she's like she doesn't need my help. She's a movie star, so I'm like, yeah, she's the best. Who else? I don't know. Like, I want to, whatever my show becomes, I want to be able to like have Henry write the music with me and just like have us do, just stick with the people who I started out with. But they're already like moving. Like Mitra, you know, has three busy Debras, and I got to do the voiceover for it, which was so fun, like the announcer part.
Oh, cool.
And so yeah, I feel like it's already happening. I can't, yeah, it'll be interesting. The reason I like doing my show at Club Coming so much is because I got to meet so many new people and people who were just starting. And I was like, anyone who wants to do the show can do the show. Like, unless they're going to say something like offensive or like be mean to me. Offensive to everyone or offensive. Then like, I'm just like, yeah, I wanted it to be like, and people would bomb all the time, but that's like what made it fun. Cause it was like, you just never knew what you were going to see. So that's how I would meet all these amazing people. And now, so I'm really missing that. I'm excited to get back to that. And cause I think pretty recently, like just before pandemic, we like made like an online form thing for the show too. So if people I never even like heard of, you know, wanted to come, they could just send a clip and I'd be like, come. Cause I feel like it's hard when you're starting. It's just about who you know. And I think it makes it difficult. Like my whole first year in New York, I didn't know like there was a comedy scene in Brooklyn or anything. It took like one person being like, oh, here's this whole world. So that's what's fun to me.
Yeah, I think that's true of like the open mic circuit. Like when I started doing stand-up, it was me doing like the same two mics because I didn't know like all these other ones. And then somebody finally was like, here's this list, come to this one with me, like pulling me around so I could like find out about stuff.
Yeah, I think it's cool that it is mostly word of mouth. I feel like anytime someone tries to like make a list of like all the shows or all the mics, it just like feels so ridiculous because it changes so frequently.
Right, within a week, six of them are gone.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, what is, and they always use like the worst looking website. I'm just like, who is in charge of this? Like, it looks so lame.
I thank God every day that I never had to do open mic. I thank God because one of my homies,
oh, you're so lucky.
One of my homies booked me to do my act, and then somebody saw me do it, and then I booked their show, and from their show, I booked another show, and it's so I was like, thank God.
That's the best. And that's what was so good about UCB was you did get to meet like so many cool people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, isn't it weird to think that like it doesn't exist? Like, what are people for moving to New York? Like, everyone took it. What are they going to do?
I do think the idea of like stand up is still in New York. Like, that's UCB never had that.
Yeah.
Or like even like musical comedy is not like a UCB thing.
No.
But like the idea of like sketch to SNL is like, okay, maybe it's back to Chicago.
I feel like that was always a myth. It was always a myth.
I agree.
But it's a myth that people still buy into.
Yeah, I'm like, do people care about SNL?
I think people don't care.
Is that rude of me to ask?
No,
I
mean,
I used to really care. I really wanted to be on it. And I turned them down. No, they didn't ask me. Obviously, it's like, and then they actually didn't ask me. So actually, I think it's cooler that I don't get paid to perform in basements.
No, I think you're going to, like, doing comedy, you're going to meet one motherfucker that's obsessed with it, and another motherfucker's like, fuck the system over there. They suck. But if there was like, here's like $3,000 a week to maybe get your joke on air, you're going to be like, all right, man, let's get it.
No, I think it is cool that it's still, it's like this long-standing little thing. That's fun.
I think it's like that with a lot of shows, like the late night shows too.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch a late night show. I won't name the show in case they call me and want to give me a paycheck. But I'll watch and be like, this monologue's not funny. I hate this show.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is funny? Because there's a lot of stuff out there that really makes me feel so crazy. Because I'm just like, am I supposed to laugh right now? But you know what? Especially since pandemic, like, I never really liked watching a lot of comedy because it makes me like, you know, think about work and feel like I like murder and I like reality. I like getting murdered in reality. Murder me, please.
True murder in reality.
But, you know, actually Search Party is one of those shows that's like actually so laugh out loud funny that it's just like that's what makes it so special. That's what do y'all like to watch?
I fuck with Search Party. I fuck with Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's so good.
I like Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
I like Brass Today. It's like a British like news show. That's
I don't know that.
What else do I fuck with? Fuck with Broad City.
Absolutely. Yeah. Started it all. They're so good.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Oh, Joe Parrish show is fire. Joe Parrish is fire.
Oh, I haven't seen it. He's so funny.
That shit is fire.
Do you guys like Peep Show?
Yeah, Peep Show.
Yeah.
I love that. Makes me laugh so much.
It's good.
It's crazy. The man that did that made Succession. That's wild to me.
I didn't know.
Oh, right. Yeah, What's his name?
Jesse Armstrong. Succession is fire.
Obsessed. That's amazing. Wow.
Shout out Cousin Greg one time.
Oh my God. I auditioned for a small part on it and I was like, I would die to do this. And once again, it was kind of this unique thing where I actually didn't get it.
You're right. Don't you hate when you go to the audition room and it's a line of a whole bunch of people that kind of look like you but better, and you're like, yo, why'd you hit me up for this?
I know. I actually just got an audition that was like, she needs to be extremely fit. I was like, why'd you even send this to me? Like, that is not like, whether or not I'm perfect and gorgeous, I'm not extremely fit. It's always just like, okay, you never know. Maybe they want to go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want a really soft, squishy woman actually to play this part.
Now, through all your trials and tribulations, when did you feel accepted by the community? When did you feel like, oh, right now it's lit. I'm a star. I'm doing it big right now.
I think it was just like, oh, you know what? There was this moment. Because I started the Club Cumming show and right away it was like the best vibes. This is like 2017 and right away, was it? Oh my God, that's crazy. And it was like, I knew it was going to be great. And then the show we did after, I was on Seth Meyers on a Monday in the summer. And the show we did right after that, like that Wednesday, it was like, you couldn't even get in the door. And I was like, this is sick. But even, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, there was, the Wednesday before I went on Seth Meyers, it was pretty packed. And I remember telling the crowd, like, and we're going to be on Seth Meyers. That was a cooler moment. You're like, and we're going to be on Seth Meyers on Monday.
Would you say
everyone had come to the show? It's like, you guys like made it all happen. It was so great.
Would you say that was the moment, like saying that at the show where you were like, I'm a fucking comedian. Here we go.
I guess it more just felt less like I'm a comedian and more like I've made this cool life for myself in New York. And that was always what I wanted to do. I'm like, am I a comedian? Like, what's comedy? People are so, it's just like, what? I'm like, I'm an artist. I'm a dancer. I'm a model. A stepmother, maybe.
So is that a Janis Joplin song?
Yes. It's that.
That's awesome.
I guess. It's just so, I can't. I guess, what do you guys think is going to happen after everyone gets their shot?
Okay. Well, one, let me say, when I said this is awesome, I meant that attitude of, I made a good life for myself in this like New York.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think a lot of people, especially at theaters like UCB, get caught up with the game and like being shitty to each other, like get caught up in the game too much and like kind of eat each other sometimes because of it. Versus just like, hey, let's all create like this. Let's all make this good life for each other.
People are obviously insane and intensely crazy. But I think for me, it's always been about like, how can my life be as fab as possible? And so having like the Wednesday night thing that felt like a party, that was the best. I was like, this is cooler than anything else.
I feel that. I had a show in Boston before I moved. Mm-hmm. That was like, it was like a Friday weekly show. That was
so
like
fun.
Non-comedians coming out, especially like it was an improv show, but it was always packed with like not people who didn't take improv classes. Just
that's
like,
the goal.
And that's the goal. That's who you want. That's like, that's who's watching, you know, the late night shows and the SNLs. That's who's like, you got to make laugh. And it just felt so awesome. I wasn't getting paid to do it or anything, but it was like a great time.
It's the best.
So the vaccine question, I think comedy in New York's going to be like a much smaller, like scene, hopefully not right away. I don't think UCB is going to come back. I don't think the Pit, it's going to be this big institution. I think that's going to kind of subside a little bit for a while.
Yeah, I think people are going to like focus on like branding, like doing their own thing. Like, I feel like with like success, like people like you, Rachel Sennett, Z-Way, it's like, all right, this is my voice. This is what I'm going to do. I don't even need a stage. I could do it right from my phone. I could do it live. I could do it with other people. So I think people are going to like go more towards that and less about like, I need this institution or I need this club to be successful. Because then the clubs could find you through your brand on the internet, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's all about doing your own thing and waiting and just, doing it until someone notices. but not caring if someone does or not right. needing
them fact.
To.
That's a fact.
Yeah, doing it for the love of doing it.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Which is hard sometimes, as we mentioned.
Yeah, it's hard sure. all the time. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Now, sadly, we out here to the last question, Kat.
Oh, okay, that you guys was... are sick of me?
No, definitely not. Definitely
hey,
not.
We can talk about other stuff.
No, honestly, I first of all, I adore this. Thank you. First of all, it's so funny because Pat and I do such a bad job of like knowing about our guests. So whenever someone's like, I know the things you do, I'm like, okay, I feel honored. And I also like when we keep it tight because only so long can I look at my Zoom.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
My brain goes, and I got cupcakes to bake and a sex toy to put on.
Toy to put on.
That made it sound like it was a strap on. It's not, but
I'm guessing it's like lingerie, but maybe not.
Well, do you guys want to know what it is?
I don't. If you want to share,
for sure.
Is this like a G-rated podcast or no?
I say fuck okay. a bunch.
It's cool. It's like it's this little vibrator that the girl or whoever can put in their underwear, and then the guy can literally control it on an app on his phone.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that sick?
Wow, yeah, that sounds like some Black Mirror shit. That's crazy.
I've seen some, like, I guess prank videos. I don't know what to call them.
Oh, really?
Like, the girl knows and the guy knows, or the other person. I don't know who's controlling it. Mm-hmm. But they'll be, like, in a grocery store.
Oh, God.
Trying to get customer service help and then, like, turn it
on.
They're
like, you're baking. You're baking. Yeah. You're baking.
So the prank's on the customer service guy. Now,
all right. So what's the last question, boys?
All right. So what's the best advice you received throughout your career? And what's some advice you would give yourself in the past?
Oh, okay. Wait. I think it was Larry Owens who told me I saw him. I was really upset I didn't get something. And he's the best. Do you guys know Larry?
Of course.
He's the best ever. And he was just like, he was making me laugh so hard. He just goes, oh, you care about that? And he was like, what he said was, it's a career, not a job. He was like, it's a career, which to me was like, there's going to be this long future ahead of you. And to get caught up on any one thing is just like, any one job is such a waste of time. So I just remember him looking at me like slurping an iced coffee, just being like, it's a career. He's the best. So that was great advice. And then what was the other question? Because you guys kind of lied. It was actually two parts.
If you could go back in time. And what we've learned, I think, on this podcast is that me and Steve are big liars.
Yeah, so you're lying to me.
If you go back in time, what would you tell your earlier self?
Have fun.
Yo, that's a fact, though. That's underrated.
I'm literally like, honestly, every time before I go on stage to do my hour, I'm like, try to enjoy this. I'm like, God, whatever. I don't know what I believe in God, but I say just God, like, let me please have fun tonight. Because I've had shows every now and then where parts of them feel like a chore. It's just the worst. You got to just be like, have fun. And when it's going bad, you got to be like, it's for the memoir. Have fun.
Yeah. I think those go well together too. It's a career. Absolutely. Have fun.
It's a career. Have fun.
Yeah, put that on a shirt. Hey, that's merch.
Let's get some merch ASAP. Thank y'all so much. You're the best. You both have to come do my show if that ever happens again.
For sure.
I'd love to.
And enjoy the beautiful New York weather.
So but before you go, I just want to do some plugs. Thank you so much for jumping on, Kat, of course. You guys can out there listening can follow Kat on Twitter. It's just at Kat Cohen. And on Instagram, it's at Kat C. Cohen.
Don't get me started on that.
You need
There's
to
There's a mother of twins who won't give me the Kat Cohen handle on Instagram. But we celebrate her.
Well, she got to hand it off to her twins probably.
Yeah, she has kids, so you know, I can afford to type the extra C, but she might not have time.
This is how bad personal.
Oh, really? Does it? No, I love her. I'm in love with her. I'm in love with that woman.
sounds like you're lying now, but
no. Yeah, definitely follow me online.
Yes, follow Kat online. You're in your podcast app right now, listen to this. So hop on over to Seek Treatment, hit that follow button. It's a comedy dating podcast, and the tagline is boy sex, fucking dating and love.
Yes.
She hosts it with Pat Regan, and they have guests on the podcast every week. So go check it out. And her book of poems is available in bookstores. God, I Feel Modern Tonight. My girlfriend wanted to mention it's probably not available at McNally Jackson Bookstore because she bought the last two copies, one for her and one for her friend.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. Well, maybe we'll have to do a mashup with our podcasts one day.
Yeah.
We never have straight guys on the pod. It would be a unique experience.
I'm actually bi, but I feel you.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Andrew.
Oh, gotcha.
We never have a straight guy and a bi guy on the pod, so it's time. Anyways, thank you guys so much. Live, laugh, love, and tell your girlfriend thank you so much.
Oh yeah, don't worry. She helped me get ready for this. She's a big fan, big fan, big fan.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Adios.
Okay, talk soon. Bye, guys.
Let you go.
All right,
everybody. You just caught the Chuckleheads. I am at Sir Bizzle on Instagram and Twitter. Steve, where you at?
On Instagram, I'm at Yo Genty. That's YoJeanty. On Twitter, it's just my name, StevJeanty. And I need all the listeners out there to stay up like a hard dick. You heard me?